Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Had to flex the lungs on you real quick. You are now talking with TD. I got my man Elijah to my left, hitting the switches, making it all happen. Awesome, awesome, awesome show for you today. We have my teammate, Bills reporter from NFL Nation. That, of course, brought to you by ESPN. Marcel Louis Jock, going to talk shop there. We got Chris Sanders because you know what it is. Run. TMC, fresh for you, you. We're going to get into not just the running game. We're just going to, you know what? I'm going to just keep it 100. It's going to be a 100 session with Chris Sanders. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And we have a special guest, the country's leading disability insurance lawyer, Frank Darris of Darris Law Firm. I can't wait to talk to him because you know what? I have questions.
You're not going to want to miss that. With all the stuff going on right now, I think we have been able to spot the one man who's been able to answer a lot of these questions that we have on our mind.
I can't wait to get into it with him. I can't wait to just get into this show because there is a lot that is going on. Before we came on, you had the news, Paul Kaharsky, hat tip Kaharsky, hat tip Steve Lehman. These guys were out in front of it. As far as this workout that the Titans have had, Titans players, let's put it that way, because it's not a Titans function, but a group of Titans players met at NBA, and that's Montgomery Bell Academy. For those of you who are listening, shout out my listeners not in Nashville, but that's Montgomery Bell Academy. It is a very prestigious school here. Titans players had a workout there on September 30th. And I was able to confirm it with one of the school officials. Wow. This was after the second day of positive tests, or after the third. Well, yeah, because you had Monday, Tuesday. So this was on Wednesday, September 30th. 3 days of positive tests. Not a good situation for these guys to gather. But here's something that I think we need to talk about because it's not really getting covered or getting the light shined upon it. This workout happened before, I will repeat once again, this workout happened before the league sent a memo with the adjusted protocols after the Titans outbreak. So while these guys were careless in doing that, without a doubt, you know, you have multiple cases popping up of positive tests. It is careless to gather. It's definitely careless. But I don't know that this was a direct violation of league protocols. I think that's something that has to be addressed because the league released their memo, I want to say October 2nd, and then on October 5th, that's when the possibility of forfeiture was able to be discussed, and not only discussed, but established. Mm-hmm. So here's the situation. The Titans won't be able to be back into the building until Saturday at the earliest, and that's provided that they don't have positive tests on Thursday and Friday and Saturday morning. They got a game on Sunday. I don't know that they will be in condition to efficiently play a ball game. I think the players understand that, too, and that's why they worked out.
That was before the September 30th would have been, I guess, the day of the rescheduling of the Steelers-Titans game, because at that point in time, there was still the possibility that the game could have been played on Monday or Tuesday. So them going out and getting reps at NBA would have been them in preparation for having a game in, what, 4-5 days? That would have been a preparation for a game that would have been happening relatively soon for them that they thought still would probably be going on.
Yeah, without a doubt. So there's a lot to be concerned about. You made a good point before we jumped on when you said if, in fact, it was the QBs and receivers.
The news today probably isn't very good for the optics department.
With Corey Davis being added on the 7th, and then on the 2nd, I want to say, you had Adam Humphries and Cam Batson. That's three receivers.
Mm-hmm.
So this situation can continue to evolve. I really hope that everybody who tested positive, I hope that everything will be fine. I know there's possibilities of long-term ramifications. I know that this virus, it affects people differently, whether you're in shape or out of shape. It just there's different ways that is going to, like, some people it will go through and they pass it through and it's gone. Some people, they stay with it. I pray to everyone, period, not just the guys and girls on it, because we don't know if, you know, who the team personnel people are. So it could be a female. So I'm going to cover everything and say the guys and girls. I just hope that everyone who has to deal with this directly, the idea of thoughts and prayers going out, people have started to take that and give pushback to it. But, I mean, at this point, what more can I give, right, outside of my thoughts and my prayers?
Yeah.
If someone prays for me, I'm going to be thankful for it. Mm-hmm. I'm praying for everyone that it affects. Rant over from that perspective. But it's just there's a lot that has to be sorted through, a lot that has to be unfolded. Mike Vrabel and multiple Titans representatives, they say that they have applied all procedures and all protocols. They are under investigation. Again, this workout that they had, you know, Mike Vrabel said on October 1st, the day after, that they told all players, regardless of league protocol, not to gather. There weren't any reports of any workouts after the 30th. I don't know. There's just a lot of stuff to sort through. I 100% would hate to be someone who's in position to administer a penalty, because you can only go so far. Because this has just been an ongoing, evolving situation. They're not playing on Sunday. Let's just be real about it. They're not playing on Sunday.
It'd be a miracle, absolute miracle if they did. And you probably don't want it to be on Sunday, because you're not going to get an accurate representation of what this team is against a Buffalo Bills team that is on fire and is fully healthy.
And not only that, it's a risk. Huge. They're going to have fans in the building. That's a risk in itself. You saw Green Bay. I don't know if you saw, but they put a ban on fans in Lambeau Field because of spike cases in Green Bay and in the Wisconsin area.
Yeah.
At this point, I mean,
do everything you can to minimize the risk. And that's the thing we've been talking about all year long.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, that being said, fans are not going to be within 6 feet of a player or coach, especially for an ongoing period of 15 minutes. I mean, when we were permitted into the game against the Jaguars, we weren't allowed to go past, I think it was like row 10 or something like that. You know, so there are things in place, but I just think, to use your word, the optics of it, would not be good to have fans in the – but it just – you can't push the game to Monday. You can't push it to Tuesday. The Bills play – I forget who they play, but they have a game on Thursday.
The Chiefs. They play the Chiefs big boys on Thursday.
Oh, my goodness. Did you see the picture of Stephon Gilmore and Pat Mahomes after the game?
They dapped up.
And Gilmore tested positive. It's – this whole situation is – this is like a movie, man. It is really like a movie. And I've never seen anything like it. Again, I just wish the best for everyone. I know football is important and you want these guys to go back on the field, but here's the thing that we have to understand. They're not just objects of entertainment. Mm-hmm. These are people. These are people like Kevin Byard, like Taylor Lewan, who have newborns in the household. These are people. You have to remember that first and foremost. I get it. It's a business. That almighty dollar is of the utmost importance to some. You can't treat these guys just like a disposable product. Mm-hmm. They are people. You need to be concerned about their health. Their health comes first. I don't care if there aren't any games for the rest of the year. I would hate that, but if it comes to that, for lives to be saved, for lives to not be greatly impacted on the negative side of things, I'm all for it. We'll see what happens. That was quite an opening segment. We have plenty more to go for you, so stay tuned. We will be right back. Before we go, make sure you subscribe. Search us out, Talking with TD, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts. Definitely subscribe it. And you know what? We could use a sponsor for our hotlines.
Mm.
If you're a business out there and you're listening, make sure you get with me at tdavenport_NFL, or you could just email me, teron.davenport@ESPN.com, and I will pass the information on to the necessary authorities, and we'll make it happen. When we come back, special treat for you. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is Corey Davis, and you're talking with TD.
Gotta let Marvin say it. All right, back from the break. We have a special treat for you guys and girls. I had to play some grown folk music, man, because we're about to bring on someone who's definitely grown and established. It is my pleasure to bring on Frank Doris of Doris Law. This is the head of America's top disability firm. Mr. Doris has represented players, agents, franchises. If you want an opinion that is, or not an opinion, if you want an authority in regards to what's going on right now, this is who is fully in position to give that. Frank, I appreciate you coming on.
TD, my pleasure. Absolutely.
I want to get right into this because here we have some reports. I don't know if you've seen what has come out, but today, Wednesday, it came out that some of the Titans players worked out on September 30th. So at this point, that workout wasn't unauthorized, but it was, to be blunt, it was careless. And here's the thing. Since September 30th, as my producer Elijah pointed out, three Titans receivers, and it was the quarterback and receivers who were working out, three of them have come out that tested positive for COVID-19. So before we get into some of this other stuff, what do you make of that? Is that workout that they did, like, would that absolve the team of any responsibility or anything along those lines?
Sure. So, you know, this has been horrific for our players. If you think back, TD, you know, we had no spring training. We really didn't have the time to rehabilitate from off-season injury or surgeries. And then we have no spring training. Our facilities are closed. We don't have trainers. We're not able to do it. We get our preseason canceled to try and get our players ready. And then, you know, we put protocols in place. And protocols don't fail. It's people that fail the protocol. Originally, we had 9 and 9. So this disease knows no boundaries. Whether you're a player, a coach, a team support personnel, this disease has seeped in and sacked currently the NFL. Obviously for Tennessee, the two players this morning, another difficulty. And, you know, there's going to be some mudslinging. And this is a $1 billion pie. Mm-hmm. And as we look at, you know, Jerry Jones from Dallas saying yesterday, look, I'm rabid, he said, for penalties that are going to include forfeitures, loss of draft picks. And if we find that our quarterback, our wide receivers either weren't masked up, had some unauthorized training, did something outside the protocol, there's going to be big, big trouble.
But let me ask this from your perspective, a guy who's well-versed in legal situations. The league released a memo on October 2nd banning in-person activities outside of the facility. Before that, there in-person activities inside the facility. That was the deal. They've released memos after the breakout with the Titans. So is it really possible to go back and retroactively apply that to the workout that they had on the 30th?
Yeah, you know, they're looking at more than just that workout on the 30th. They're looking at, was there mask violation?
Right.
They're asking for videotape. We've had the NFL and the NFLPA investigators on site since a week ago Wednesday. So there's going to be plenty of mudslinging. You know, was the staff properly masked up? Did the team violate any of the in-person workouts? If it was, or we worked off-site. And think about the player. I mean, your VO2 and your oxygen capacity, as you're out of a training facility for 3, 4, 5 days, now a week, how are these players going to stay game ready? Because they got to be prepared. They have looked at trying to improve the practice squad by, you know, adding some things there. We've got daily tests. We got PPE, we got masks, we got gloves, we got virtual meetings, we got triple deep cleaning of the facility. But look, this virus comes and goes. It breaks and enters, and it decimates not only the young and the old. Think about this. We got coaches. You know, it started with Coach Bowen. And, you know, if it's a cluster buster or it's a high viral load, whoever got infected first can spread this with one cough, one high five, or one careless handshake. And it doesn't care, TD, whether you're a quarterback, a safety, a lineman. You know, this day of reckoning is here.
Unbelievable. So with this, so you look at Mike Vrabel, right? He spoke on Monday. We got to speak to him. And I asked him about players that are on the list, like the return, like how that's going to work. And he said there's going to be a ramp-up period for them. They're going to monitor their conditioning, but more importantly, their cardiovascular health. So let's say a player comes to you and they say, you know, I'm concerned about the future. I tested positive. I see that it has been documented that it has long-term impact, whether it's lungs or heart or whatever. How do you go about attacking that?
Sure. So let me help, because I see the country in real time. Every month, I look at every case that comes to me, some 2,500 cases a month that come from all across the country. So I'm in the catbird seat. I've watched this since January 22nd. I've seen it's not only, you know, originally we thought, oh, maybe it's a little worse than the flu. Oh, gee, maybe it's just older people with comorbid underlying problems, high blood pressure, they're overweight, they're obese, they have heart issues. No, then it wasn't the kids. Well, think about it. You know, my players are young, some of them a little older. We got Tom Brady and we got some older folks. My coaches may not be, TD, the picture of health. They could be older linemen that are now lineman coaches that are 6'5", 340. They're a little obese. They've got high blood pressure. They got heart issues. Or my younger players, they married the love of their life. Their children are home. Mama is trying to homeschool those kids at the kitchen table. Kids can't wear a mask under 2. We got siblings that are coming and going. Some going to school, some not. Now I got a player who says, wait a minute. You know, there's 2,880 players in the NFL. This year we had 67 opt-outs. Great idea. You could voluntarily opt out, $150,000 stipend, or if you had health-related issues. And remember, Russell Wilson was one at the beginning of the season who was concerned about his bride. She was pregnant. Mm. If you had a health-related problem, you know, it's a $350,000 advance. But here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing lung scarring. I'm seeing traveling blood clots. I'm seeing heart inflammation. I'm seeing intestinal and kidney and neurologic problems. And those issues, when you've got a blood clot that travels or breaks away, we're either going to get a stroke, or we're going to get heart inflammation. And I know your listeners, maybe some of you all read that Penn State med study that came out where they had 33 players tested positive, either asymptomatic or with symptoms. And 15 of them showed cardiac inflammation. Cardiac inflammation for an elite athlete. Mm. The worst thing you can do, TD, is get back on the field with high-intensity workouts. And when you get that inflammation, it may take my 4.3 speedster to a 5.3 average guy. If my calling card, if I'm the marquee speedster in the league, and all of a sudden now I have cardiomyelitis, or I get cardiac inflammation, or I have a little lung scarring because I got exposed to COVID and I'm symptomatic, what am I going to do? And that's the difficulty and the problem with this disease. We don't have herd immunity. There's 10% of us in the United States. 7.5 million people have had it, but 210,000 deaths, but less than 10% herd immunity, TD. And we don't have a vaccine. And the vaccine, while they say it's going to be end of the year or before the end of the year, now we're seeing that vaccine with three really difficult problems: high fever, hopeless, chilling chills during the night, and crushing headache. And then we got those people who say, I'm not getting the vaccine, or I'm not getting it for 3 or 4 months till I see whether we're going to have problems. So for my players, they need to be super, super careful. Too late to opt out. Now we just got to make sure that they're protected.
And then what about injury? Because you see all this soft tissue stuff. You see guys rupturing Achilles, MCL, ACL. You see stuff these are things that happen. But, I mean, my goodness, it's a lot more rampant now. So I would imagine it has to do with, as you said, not having that spring season to get into shape and into the correct position to be able to play. So how do you attack that? I mean, let's
sure.
say
so,
you have a guy.
No,
yeah.
So look, you know, this is $100 billion industry. And they say for each NFL game, if just that game doesn't go, it's $24 million in TV rights alone. And one of the problems that we got right now, and I'm going to get to the injuries, but, you know, we've got these NFL stadiums that are huge. Look over in Las Vegas, the new stadium. L.A., we got a new stadium. They're empty right now, TD. And, you know, empty seats don't buy tickets. And when you don't have anybody sitting in that seat, they're not going at halftime to the team store. They don't buy beer. They're not spending it on team gear. And the NFL chose not to lock down our 32 teams. Now, give Dallas credit. They had a bubble, and they protected their players in the preseason. But now for my players, I say this. Look, there is coverage out there right now, insurance coverage, where you can protect your future. If you got sick or you got injured and you couldn't return to your sport, for $6,000 a million, you can get career-ending coverage. Think about that. For $60,000, I can get you, TD, $10 million worth of career-ending coverage. The definition is there's no hope of recovery. Hey, look, if I have lung scarring and I'm a speedster and I'm out, for $60,000, I get $10 million. And right now, I don't have any of that weasel wording or the virus exclusions that I anticipate are going to be coming soon. So if I got sick or I got injured, I could buy $10, $15 million worth of career-ending coverage, and I could buy it for as cheap as $5,000 or $6,000 a million. If I'm a rookie, I get $560,000 this year. If I just bought $2 million worth of career-ending coverage, $12,000, it's less than 3% of what I'm going to make, and I've insured myself, I've insured my family. And by the way, if I'm one of those coaches and I'm making a million or two or five or eight a year, I can buy that same career-ending coverage for $5 or $6 million. If I'm in my draft year or free agency, I can buy drop and slot TD. I can buy $5 million worth of drop and slot. So if I'm projected next year as a free agent to be the top free agent, and I fall out of free agency because I got sick or injured, I can buy that coverage too. And if I'm an agent like Rosenhaus or any of the other big agents out there, I can reinsure my commissions. Last, if I'm a player, I can buy loss of endorsement. Hey, how quick do you think I'm going to lose my endorsement deals if I'm no longer to be on the field? I can buy that loss of endorsement coverage, and it's cheap, 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 and it's going to protect them, unlike the NFL disability policy that wouldn't keep you afloat in calm weather.
Now, we have players, coaches, and agents that listen to this show. So before we go any further, if they are taking heed to the message that you're delivering, how can they get with you? What's your contact information so we make sure it's out there?
Sure. Sure. My firm is called Darras Law, Darras Law, and they can reach me at 800-458-4577. By the way, I don't charge nobody, whether it's a high school first-round pick, college players or colleges or universities, or any of the NFL teams, players, or agents, or their family, to be able to see what we can find out there for them in terms of the right coverage at the cheapest price with the best language. TD, I was blessed. I raised 2 Division I athletes. My daughter played golf, had 3 knee surgeries. I saw how quick a future can get dashed. And my boy was a closer and first placement, played Division I baseball. And I know firsthand how quickly a dream can get dashed. So if they wanted to contact us, it's Darras Law or 800-458-4577. I don't charge anybody to be able to try and find or help them apply properly, or God forbid they buy the coverage, the insurance company slow pays or doesn't want to pay. You know, we can get involved and see how to help. Don't charge anybody for that. I just want the players, the team, the family, the agent to be thinking about career-ending coverage or drop-in slot, cheap as heck, and it'll protect your players and their family, and most importantly, their future.
And last thing before we let you go, and I really appreciate all of this information because it's been truly informative. With the teams and the league, you have players, they take out a policy like this, they might be a little hesitant or afraid because it could bring quote unquote blackball or pushback from the league or for their teams. How does that process, like, how do you sort through and navigate those waters?
Sure. So number one, the NFL disability policy, you know, isn't going to buy you a Coke at 7-Eleven. It is a very, very small policy that's not giving you any financial security and not protecting you long term. For the players, you know, you apply individually, or if the team is going to reinsure a quarterback's salary or a cornerback's salary, that's private. They apply to Lloyd's of London. Lloyd's has more of this risk than any carrier anywhere, and they write these policies. They invest in this kind of risk. And right now, we aren't having the exclusions or the get-out-of-jail-free things that we see in these policies. There's no blackballing for somebody who says, wait a minute, I'm going to buy some individual coverage. I'm going to pay for it myself. It's going to protect me if I get sick or injured. It'll sit on top of my small NFL disability policy. And even though I'm an employee of the team, my workers' comp benefits aren't going to provide me any financial future, and especially for my younger guys. If your tenure in the NFL is 3 or 4 years and we're going to make $560, look, let's spend $6,000, get $1 million worth of career-ending coverage. Remember, TD, I don't sell this. I try and find it for the player, the team, the coach, the family. And if the carrier welches if they slow pay or they decide they're not going to pay for one reason or six others, then my firm steps in, steps up, and we do this litigation on a national and international scale, and it's not for the faint of heart. My players need to get paid.
There you have it right there. Frank, I really appreciate you coming on. Like I said, ultra packed with information. You guys and girls, you have heard the information. Take heed to it. If you want to contact Frank Darris, be sure to contact him. He is the head of the nation's top disability law firm based in L.A., but anything could be taken care of remotely or anything like that. So make sure you get with them. Again, I appreciate you, and we will definitely be in touch.
TD, my pleasure. Stay safe, everybody.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Fresh. Yes, yes, yes. All right. This is normally a segment where we talk about the rushing attack, hence the name Run TMC. But I gotta be honest. There's other things that we have to focus on. So, Chris, man, my partner in crime, what's going on?
Man, I'm good, man. Just all this crazy stuff going on, COVID-19 and people practicing and all this goofy stuff, man. It's just crazy, man. I just be glad we can get back to some normalcy and really just start focusing on football and not talk about all this other stuff that's going on, man. So it's all good, though. Still Run TMC, baby. Let's go.
That's right. That's right. We got to make it happen. Still bring the energy. Baby. You know what I'm saying?
I'm dizzy.
So obviously the big elephant in the room right now is the workouts at NBA.
Right.
And I confirmed with a school official that Titans did have players there.
Right.
I think really the big thing that has to be figured out is whether or not it was actually an unauthorized workout. Because if you look at the timeline, October 1st, there's a memo that goes out. Or rather, October 2nd, there's a memo that goes out. October 1st, Vrabel says, regardless of what the league says, league protocols, we're telling players not to work out. That's
okay.
October 1st,
right.
Thursday. This workout happened September 30th. So help me out, man.
Man, I don't know. You know, see, you know, I work at Montgomery Bet Academy, so, you know, I know what's going on. Yeah, they were out there practicing. But here's the deal. Look at the timeline. You know, you said that they practiced on the 30th last Wednesday, but the memo or the protocol didn't come out to October 2nd. So what's the big deal? There was no rules broken. There was no clear-cut protocol for what the Tennessee Titans could do or not do. Now, I know Vrabel said, just like you said on October 1st, that he didn't want guys to practice. But then now we come into a situation to where maybe Channing Hill's just maybe being a leader, saying, you know what, we may not practice, but let's figure out a way to stay in shape and keep the rhythm in our passing game and do it like that.
Funny you mention that, because the comment from Ryan Tannehill on Thursday when he spoke, he said this, I'm just going to make sure that I'm getting throws in and ready to go and throw the ball well when the game comes around. Go ahead.
No, you're good, because you're saying something. I didn't mean to cut you off. But see, what you just said, you know Tannehill's not going to break any rules.
Right.
He's not going to break any rules.
Yeah,
so
that's
with that statement, he's saying that I'm going to go out and get my guys prepared. So basically he's saying that there was no protocol.
Yep, and this is October 1st when he spoke. Other thing he said was, I'll definitely have to stay after it. You can't sit around on the couch for a week and be on a Zoom meeting and expect to be at a physical peak on a Sunday or whenever the game is going to be. It's going to look a little bit different for everybody, what they're able to do, where they're able to work out. Again, where they're able to work out, in a garage, in a gym somewhere, in a gym somewhere, I'm not even sure. Every man on this team is charged with prepping themselves, getting their bodies right, making sure that when we're running, we're conditioned and ready to go whenever the game comes around. That was on Thursday, October 1st, the day after these workouts.
But see, everybody's trying to throw a red flag and saying that the Tennessee Titans broke a rule. With all the stuff that you're saying, does he Does it seem like he's trying to go above, be above the law and
not
do what
at
he
all.
Wants to do? Not at all. We always talk about guys being leaders. We talk about guys being stand-up guys. We talk about guys that take an initiative to make their team better. Now, I'm not saying make your team better by going out and breaking all kind of rules. No. But if there's no protocol that's saying you can't practice or you can practice or whatever, then I think he took the leadership and said, you know what, let me do what I need to do to keep my guys in shape. Let me do what I need to do to keep the rhythm going on offense. So I'm going to go out there and ask a school, can I practice there? And that's exactly what happened. So let's just get off this little high horse and just trying to find the negative and say, ooh, the Titans broke rules. Oh, they did this. Oh, they did that. As opposed to getting down to the root of what actually happened.
And that's another thing that you have to look at, because at the time when they worked out, there was a mandate that banned in-person activities in the building.
Wow, and see.
Later on, it came out that they said outside of the building. Because remember, at that point, everything was in place based upon the facility not being shut down.
See.
That's the thing that we have to look at. Hey, Goldman, I'll give my little Johnny Cochran on. You hear me?
Man, I'm with you, man. I'm robbing, man. Come on.
But no, seriously, yeah. That's the thing that has to be realized is they were going forth and establishing new protocol
right. Moving
forward. This situation, the procedures, the protocol were literally adjusting on the fly. Hence the Patriots having two planes go to Kansas City, right? One with people who are in close contact with Cam. One with those who weren't.
Wow.
This is a new thing. Yeah. That wasn't something that they were talking about on Saturday when Shane Bowen tested positive and the Titans flew to Minnesota. So I think these things have to come into play. And when I say on Saturday, I'm talking about the 26th for those who want to dot I's and cross T's. So my thing is, I don't know for sure that you could apply – the penalty that was established October 5th, I want to say.
Yeah.
That's when the penalties came to play.
Mm-hmm.
The rule was October 2nd, but the penalty was October 5th. I don't know that you could retro that back to what happened on September 30th.
You can't. I mean, what can you do? I mean, September 30th, they came and they practiced at Montgomery Bett Academy. There was no protocol. There was no rule to say that they could not do that. Nobody's trying to say, you know, they're cheating and they're doing this and they're doing that. No, because there was nothing in the protocol that said they couldn't practice at a high school. And I think that the NFL needs to have some grace right now. Now, when I say have some grace right now, is they need to overview everything that's going on. And this is a perfect example. So instead of just taking the easy way to just give the Tennessee Titans penalties, just sit and assess it and say, you know what, okay, how do we drop the ball? When did we put the protocol out? When did they practice? You know, what were they doing? And assess the whole thing as opposed to just saying, oh, we're just going to give them penalties because they got together. That's not going to make anything better.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, again, it's an ongoing, ever-evolving process.
Right.
This is unprecedented. You cannot set rules for an unprecedented situation.
Right.
You have to have that understanding that it's going to be revolving. And eventually you're going to be able to, you know, apply something that happened after the rule, but you can't really apply it before it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just wild, man. And I think that the head of the NFL, Goodell, is going to sit down and have to evaluate everything that's going on, because we got to understand something. Everybody's learning on the fly. We've never been in this position before. We never had COVID. We never had to adjust a game during the week.
Right.
So we got to understand that sometimes the ball's going to be dropped. Sometimes mistakes are going to be made. So I just think that we all need to come together, figure it out, have a clear cut protocol, and do it that way, as opposed to just saying, okay, I'm just going to get some penalties out. That's not doing anything.
But that being said, I'm not going to agree with the decision that these guys made to work out. You know what I'm saying?
True.
I'm not going to agree with that. I'm not going to call it reckless, but I just don't know that it was the best decision to make in the midst of this situation that we have going on now. When you have multiple at that time, so Wednesday it was, what, four positive, well, five if you include Greg Maybe.
That's a good point.
So Yeah, it wasn't dead wrong, but I'm not going to absolve him of any wrongdoing. However, I just, like you said, you can't retro the punishment. So,
I mean, I agree with you. You know, with all the positive cases that's been going on, go home and watch Judge Judy. Go home and watch Judge Joe Brown. I don't even know if he's on yet. Go ahead and watch Tom and Jerry. And then Zoom them jokers later on. I mean, you brought up a good – I didn't look at it like that at first, but actually I agree with you, TD. Look at what's going on right now. Go sit down. Go and get your big old bowl of cereal and talk about how cute Judge Judy is in this role.
Or you could do like Kevin Byard said, right? He said that he's going to get on his Peloton and work out that way. You know what I mean? Hey, you do what you got to do, man, to stay in shape, but to also be safe.
Yeah, and you got to run some routes in the front yard. Man, run, try to get off the press off a squirrel or a possum. I mean, you good. They're going to play zone coverage.
Hey, you know what the dudes down in Pahokee, Florida do?
They chase the rabbits.
Come you on, better man. Get you some rabbits. Man, I'm glad that we can make light of this situation because it is. Really, it's crazy. But I think this is the attitude that you have to have. You have be able to take it in stride and put it in perspective and just understand that it's just something that you just have to continue to roll with, man. I appreciate you coming on,
TD,
man. Always,
man.
Always.
We'll talk about the running game next week if we have a game, dog.
Yeah, for sure, man. Until then, I'll holler.
Peace.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
We out here trying to function. All right. Back from the break. Had to go with the Cali theme, you know, the West Side thing. Because, you know, I'm bringing in one of my homies from the West Side. He's on the East Side now, the Northeast to be specific. Hey, man, every week, y'all know what I do. Phone a friend. This week, I got my guy, Marcel Louis-Jacques, coming on. Marcel, what's going on, man?
Man, I had to stop myself from gigging there, man. I appreciate the intro music.
Hey,
man,
for sure.
That brings me right back home.
Yeah, you know, you got to set the mood.
I appreciate it, man. I'm doing well, man. It's nice to have football to talk about again, but, you know, we got a lot more than football going on right now.
Everything is going on. And, you know, I'm going to start with this. It's too bad you're not coming down this way so we can't take another trip to get that hot chicken, man, you know what I mean? But I guess that's good for your taste buds and sweat glands from what you experienced last time.
My Lord, man. I've never been stressed out by a meal in my life, man. But my heart rate was going up. It's hot outside. Like, I was like, man, this is not a game. They weren't lying. I might need to tone it down next time.
Yo, that was hilarious, man. I remember that literally to a T, man. That's too funny. But, I mean, obviously, there is a possibility of a game that could happen. You're up there. You guys had Coach McDermott today, correct?
We did.
What's the general feeling that you got when you know, he spoke to the media for you?
You know, it sounds like he kind of sounded like somebody who realizes this situation is out of his control.
Yeah,
and you know, we hear the classic coach speak, we try to focus on what we can control. We focus on us. We'll up the band. But I asked him point blank, hey, how much control do you have over whether this game is being played? Can you opt to the league? Can you lobby the league to cancel or postpone it if you don't feel comfortable playing? And he said, you know, he would hope that the league takes their opinion into account. But ultimately, in his words, this decision is not going to be made by Sean McDermott.
Mm-hmm.
So it really just sounds like he's kind of, you know, throwing his hands up here and saying, you know, we're gonna try to stay as safe as possible. We're gonna follow our protocols, but ultimately the league's gonna do what the league's gonna do, and that's kind of alarming for a coach, for a team to have to take that stance, because the Bills have been abundantly cautious throughout this entire process. They, if you talk to sources around the league, they're a standard setter in terms of employee, staff, and player safety throughout the COVID pandemic. So I can't imagine that after 22 positive tests, they might not say it publicly, but privately, no, there's no way that they're comfortable putting this entire organization at risk for one game that can be canceled or postponed. So it's I'm curious to see what the league has to say about this, what they end up doing about this. But he really does sound like a guy who realizes this is not in his control.
And what's the general thought process after going against it? Because it's not just one side, because this team just played the Raiders, and they had somebody, you know, test positive as well. Have you gathered any information or opinions after that as well?
I mean, it's something that rang a lot of bells in the locker room. We spoke to Stephon Diggs today, and he said as much, that when the news came out about the Raiders testing positive, replacing two players on the COVID reserve list, that it was like, oh wow, oh my, really, really now. And it's more than just two teams, though. When you look at their upcoming schedule, they've got they have the Chiefs coming up in a couple of weeks. They've got the Patriots coming up 2 weeks after the Chiefs game. And obviously they're sandwiched between the Raiders and the Titans, two teams with confirmed positives. So this is a very, you know, it is a important stretch. It's a stressful stretch for this team coming up. And it seems like there's a little bit of frustration as well in the locker room, because it's one of those things where you're doing everything right and somebody else is messing up, is losing your class recess time here because they can't get their act together.
So there is actually a thought process that, hey, you know, this team that we're supposed to play is cutting up and now it's affecting us.
Exactly. And they're very careful in Orchard Park about what kind of opinions and what kind of clips come out of the locker room. They don't like to play their hand. They don't like to you know, release a lot of emotional content like that. But you can tell it's in there. You can tell it's in there. And who really, reasonably, who wouldn't be frustrated if it comes out that a team was negligent or that a team was careless in following protocols that are pretty standard throughout the league, and you're following the rules and you can't play, you can't do your job anymore because somebody else is not following protocol, then, I mean, who among us would not be frustrated by that situation?
Right, no doubt about it. That's definitely the truth. So there's actually positive to come out of Buffalo because Josh Allen is playing out of his mind, and the offense is just, they're balling. The addition of Stephon Diggs, what has that done for Josh Allen and just the offense overall?
I mean, it's given him a receiver that he trusts unequivocally. I mean, we've seen it time and time again of Allen just tossing the ball up to Stephon, giving him a 50-50 ball, and Diggs turning it into more of a 80-20, 70-30 kind of ball.
Yeah.
But he's a guy who can separate at will. When you watch him play, he's just such I always thought this phrase was corny until I saw it, but he's such a natural pass catcher in that when he catches passes, it doesn't feel like he's making an effort. It just feels like it's almost like a magnet. It just kind of smoothly snaps into his hands. He's a true star. And it's added that kind of dynamic playmaking to an offense that really needed it last season, in which their best playmaker was a rookie running back. So it's opened up lanes for John Brown. It's opened up lanes for Cole Beasley and Josh Allen's improved accuracy and efficiency has turned this into an air raid offense. And they've got legitimate four receivers who I think would see significant time on just about any team in the NFL, including rookie Gabriel Davis. So it's just, this is not the same Bills team. If this game does happen, this is nowhere near the same Bills team that came into Nashville in 2019.
Well, that could be bad news for the Titans if this game was to happen. And one thing to definitely consider is this Titans team isn't the same either, so it would have made for an awesome matchup. And I'm glad you mentioned Stephon Diggs, because here's the deal. Let me tell you something. I was at his pro day in Maryland. I watched him his whole time at Maryland. This is a player that I've always been very fond of, and you are 100% right. He is a natural hands catcher. He's a natural route runner, and it's no coincidence, especially on those crossers. He's killing teams on those crossers. You mentioned the 70-30 balls, it just happened against the Raiders. That throw that he made to Stephon Diggs, Diggs wasn't open, but Diggs went up, and what's our co-worker Randy Moss say? Eric Harris, you got Moss. and then Diggs stood over him and let him know. So, yeah, you're right. That guy is the real deal. Well, what about some of the other things that are happening on the defense? I know you had mentioned that they have struggled. You can see in the point totals they've given up. I mean, this is a team that normally is very stingy on defense. What's going on there? How is Tremaine Edmonds coming back? How has that helped him?
No, it's helped in that he's like the quarterback of that defense. They got four quarterbacks on that defense in Edmonds, in Milano, in Jordan Poyer, and Micah Hyde. And not having Edmonds and Milano in week two in the middle of the field, it just opened up the buffet for Mike Gesicki and Ryan Fitzpatrick to take advantage of the middle of the Bills' defense. But he's very much playing through injury right now. He's playing through a hurt shoulder, and you can see it. He's a little slow to react. He's a little more hesitant to lower that shoulder, and he's gutting through it for the team right now. But it's one of those cases where just points are up across the league. And it's difficult to pinpoint exactly why, but based on my conversations with them on Sunday, it seems like the lack of a crowd is really impacting defenses. I've been meaning to go and check defensive numbers from games that allows fans, but it kind of makes sense when you think about it. Playing defense, it's such an emotional side of the ball, and you really thrive on energy and crowd noise and just the vibe in the stadium when it's third or fourth and short and you got 70,000 people, you know, screaming at the top of their lungs, it fires you up a little bit to go make a play. But these guys have repeatedly said, you know, it's weird being out there when it's just dead quiet and dead silent. And it's kind of hard to hype yourself up like that. It's just especially when every step of the way on your way to the NFL, you've had a crowd or cheering section of some capacity. So I think that has a lot to do with why we're seeing defenses struggle around the league, and the Bills are definitely included in that. But it's a veteran group. They returned 10 starters from last year's team. They finished in the top three of total defense in each of the past 2 years. Very prideful group of guys that you'd like to think are going to get it figured out before long, especially with a guy like Leslie Frazier, coaching the entire unit.
That's a great point about the energy, and really it comes down to BYOE, right? Not bring your own beer, bring your own energy, and that's what you have to do week in and week out. But you're right, it's tough to do that when you're used to getting all that energy from the crowd and, you know, performing up to people's thrills and standards, so to speak. I try not to – oh, go ahead.
I'm saying, 100%. And actually, I asked Sean McDermott about that on Monday. That you know, have we as the football world, football society, maybe downplayed the effect of not having fans at games? And he said, you know, it maybe a little bit, like for sure that they feel the difference, but that it's been cool for him to hear guys try to self-hype. That he's never been able to hear that before when there's, you know, thousands of fans surrounding him. But he's starting to hear guys on the field try to pump each other up, trying to energize each other, and that it's something that he enjoys, and it's something that it's going to have to continue. You saw it a little bit during the Bills' second half against the Raiders, but it's just one of many things that we got to get used to, one of many differences we have to get used to during this COVID-19 season.
Unbelievable. Here's something for you, Marcel. The Titans just placed Corey Davis on COVID reserve. So he is one of the positive tests that came out today. There were two players that tested. So that's what we have for now. Man, so that's three receivers. So you got Corey Davis, Adam Humphries, Cam Batson, all of which have tested positive. Even if this game does happen, I don't think the Titans, they're not going to say it. But I'll say it because I'm not in the locker room and I'm not putting the work in that they're putting in. So it's okay for me to say it. I don't think they have a chance if this is going on.
Exactly. When the best case scenario, okay, at the time we're talking, this is Wednesday afternoon. The best case scenario is three straight days of no positive tests and then one day in the facility to prepare for a 4-0 Bills team that's putting up you know, some of the best offensive numbers in franchise history and a legitimate MVP candidate in Josh Allen. You get one day at your facility after being closed for, what are we talking now, a week and a half, give or take?
Yeah, it's...
And you're shorthanded like that. It's, I don't know, man. It's tough. They still got A.J. Brown, but when you think of, you know, the Bills' counter with Tre'Davious White, you know, it's a tough sell. It's a tough sell if you're on the Titans.
I'm glad you mentioned Tre'Davious White, because here's what I was going to say a little bit earlier. Look, man, I am not a fan of any team. I try not to be fans of players, but A.J. Brown, Kevin Byard, Jair Alexander, Tre'Davious White, I'm a Trey White fan. You know what I'm saying? So tell me about him, man. How is that guy doing this year? I know he signed that big deal. What have you seen from him?
You know, we've seen same old Trey. Minus the he's putting himself in position to make a few plays, to create a few turnovers throughout the first couple games. They haven't happened yet, but when it comes to a guy that led the league in interceptions last year, you know that if quarterbacks keep trying him, he is going to make them pay eventually. What I've always appreciated about Tre'Davious White, he's impossible not to like. I mean, for a superstar, he's energetic. He is, you know, he's personable. He doesn't big time you in the locker room. You know, nobody really loves talking to the media. So, I mean, you know, every now and then he might sneak out, but he's always been pretty forthcoming with us. And I asked him one of the first times I ever spoke to him about the pressures of being that first pick of a new era. And because he was Sean McDermott's first pick in 2017. And he said, man, they told me I was the first step toward changing the culture here. And I didn't take it lightly. It's something that he really carries with him. He's really proud of. And I think he's somebody you never have to worry about. He's matured really quickly. You know, two kids, wife, he's always thinking of his family, and just really everything that you want in a franchise player. And his bank account is about to reflect that once his new extension kicks in.
To your point about always caring about his family and making sure that stuff is handled, he was one of the guys that was considering opting out this year. So, I mean, that lets you know right there that this was, if I'm not mistaken, before he signed the deal, correct?
Correct. And, you know, you had some people out here saying, oh, well, this is probably just a ploy for him. It's a negotiating tactic. And just knowing what I've seen from Trey, I just don't think there's any way. Granted, he did get that deal, I think, maybe a couple weeks after saying he wasn't sure if he was going to play. But I think it's a guy who, you know, he's not really the type to get up there and lie like that. He's a pretty honest, he's an honest person. And you'd like to think, you know, family really does mean a lot to him. And especially keeping his young kids safe, mm-hmm. it was weighing heavily on him. You could just see it in his eyes, man. Like, if he was lying, then he might be in the wrong profession. Somebody needs to get managed to Hollywood, because I just don't see, I don't think he was putting on a show for us. He really was concerned about his family's safety. But like I said before earlier in the conversation, the Bills are abundantly cautious in keeping this organization safe throughout the pandemic. And from what we heard from Tre'Davious, he was convinced once he saw protocols, once he saw the measures being taken, he was convinced that he could play and keep his family safe at the same time.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Before we get you out of here, okay, so the game is scheduled for Sunday. We talked about how it's not likely to happen. It almost definitely can't be pushed to Monday. Absolutely can't be pushed to Thursday because the Bills have, or Tuesday, because the Bills have a Thursday game. What are your thoughts on if this game can be pushed to a newly added week 18?
I mean, if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. It makes the season a lot longer for everybody involved. And yeah, I mean, it's nice to have. I'm sure players aren't going to complain about getting an early bye week. But, you know, if it comes out, which it's starting to, that these positive results out of Tennessee were the result of negligence and carelessness, I know they added the forfeiture clause late, but you've got to think there's got to be some sort of penalty for that. Like it's giving them extra time to prepare. And, you know, I'm trying to think of it objectively, but in our reality, it's just hard to justify, you know, allowing a team or it's dangerous to set that precedent that a team can be careless with its players, with its organization, with its habits, and it go unpunished. But at the same time, you know, I want to see this game happen. It's going to be a great game. So if it's safe and the safe way to do it is play it in week 18, play it in week 19, then hey, so be it. Let's do it.
There you have it. Marcel Louis-Jacques. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, get his man a follow. He's brought a lot of energy to that Bills beat. I know the fans love him. I watch your interaction with them all the time. They definitely, you are well received. Check him out on Twitter at Marcel, M-A-R-C-E-L underscore L-J. You got to follow him, especially this week as your team might be playing the Bills. Marcel, thanks again, man. I know you got to run. I appreciate you.
Always a pleasure, man. Good rapping with you.
For sure.
3, 2, 1.
This is Jayon Brown, and you're now talking with TD.
Mellow, mellow, mellow right there, man. That's the Roots Proceed remix, in case you're wondering where you get the... You know what he said? Let's kill all the small talk.
Yeah.
There's a lot of small talk that the Titans are directly in violation with their workout. Obviously, there is a... There's an investigation going on right now. Actually, it's been concluded, and we're waiting for the results. I think the Titans end up getting punished. I mean, how could you not? Mm-hmm. It's just to what level of severity is that punishment? I don't think you can, and Dr. Karras, Chris Sanders, we talked about it too. You can't really retroactively apply the up to and including forfeiture punishment. Mm-hmm. But there is space for something to happen. So, listen, folks, if the Titans end up being punished, it's not just because of the workout, because that's also something that we discussed in one of the early segments. There's stuff that has to be unearthed within this investigation. We'll see what that is. But just to kind of get back to what we said about looking at these guys as people, put yourself in the Buffalo Bills. Put yourself in their shoes. You have a team that in just over a week had 22 positive tests. 22.
Full-fledged outbreak.
That's an outbreak. A legit, pure, unadulterated, raw outbreak.
It's not like it stopped. It's continuing to happen.
So, you're a team that just got done playing one team, the Raiders, who had some things going on. I'm not saying that Maurice Hurst and his positive test is directly correlated to Darren Waller's event. But, I mean, you know, there's commonality in that they are both their teammates. The Bills played the Raiders. So now you got back-to-back to worry about. Right? Mm-hmm. They haven't had any positive tests. Rest assured, they've been testing. I would imagine the test has been ramped up, especially if contact tracing put, obviously, the offensive lineman, but anyone else in contact with Maurice Hurst. You never know, like, what type of crossover there is as far as coaches that he played for in college or, you know, that were a coach that was a Raiders coach that's now with the Bills. You never know. Mm-hmm. So, they've had multiple tests. Players who are in direct contact or who have contact tracing to someone that tested positive typically have an increase in the frequency of tests. That, up to this point, has not produced a positive result. Great thing for the Bills. However, you still have – so you had 2 days of negative tests, and then another two came out a day later. How do you look at that situation? And that's something that Bills coach Sean McDermott was asked, and as you pointed out, Elijah, his answer was really interesting.
I guess how comfortable would you be at this point continuing to play this game, knowing that there are reports that more Titans players have tested positive and we're only 4 days away from this game?
Yeah, I think that's real. That's a real, obviously, situation. And like I said, Heather, we are monitoring it as closely as we can from here. And we have to be, as I've said before, responsible and continue to gather information so that we can, as I said before, put the health and well-being of our people in our building at the top of our priority list. We have a lot of trust and faith in the league. And so, after saying that, it's, hey, what can we control? And that's really where our focus is right now, is making sure that we are doing everything we can to follow the protocols and everything right on our end. And then on the field is making sure our focus is on us growing as a football team.
So there you have it. Gave you a little coach speak, just like Marcel said earlier. There's concern. There's obvious concern, and there should be concern, because you don't want to put any of your employees, any of your coworkers, any of your fellow coaches, you don't want to put anyone in the organization or their families at risk. So I who knows what's going to happen? I can't see this game happening, but, I'll be honest with you. 6 years ago, I couldn't see myself doing what I'm doing now. So you never know. It's like Dumb and Dumber, right? So you're telling me there's a chance.
One in a million.
It's probably that type of odds, but it's difficult, man. It's a tough situation. And I just feel like when you're in the midst of something like this, you have to use caution. So that being said, I need to get some music, because before we get out of here, I gotta hear Too Short, man. Let it play. Alright. This week, and I try to steer from being overly critical of anyone, but this week, man, I'm blowing the whistle on two organizations. Yeah. The Titans, I'm blowing the whistle. I get it. The workout was before there were changes within protocol and procedure. That doesn't take away from being careless. That workout was careless. And I understand. You guys, you're blue-collar folks. You're grounded in hard work for big dividends, not just monetary-wise, talking about winning a game. But there's sometimes you got to weigh other things in. I don't think they should have worked out. So I'm blowing the whistle on the Titans. I'm also blowing the whistle on the Raiders, because Darren Waller, and real quick story, one of the first players I did an on-camera appearance with was Darren Waller.
Wow.
I was in Baltimore when they drafted him, and I just pulled him aside one time and said, hey, man, you mind doing an interview? And he did an interview. Awesome dude. His story on Bussin' with the Boys, go find it if you haven't heard it.
Incredible.
I give all the respect in the world to Darren Waller and that foundation, the charity event that he had, but not right now. Now's not the time. There's other ways to do it. So I'm blowing the whistle on you. But you know what? The clip is loaded. Let's empty the clip. I'm blowing the whistle on the NFL, too. Because this, the show must go on approach, I don't think is right. I don't think the Chiefs and Patriots should have played. I really don't. Mm-mm. When you have positive tests like that, I don't – a positive test. No, a positive test, because it was Jordan Tamu and Cam Newton. Ironically, Tamu was imitating Cam Newton for the week, for the Chiefs.
He did a good job of that, apparently.
Actually, too. Yeah, that was that one hit me. That was a good one. But yeah, man. So I'm blowing the whistle on the whole league, man. And it might be time to push pause. They just push pause, sort through it, figure it out. Other leagues have done it, and I get it. The big machine that the NFL is invincible. And I don't think pushing pause is saying you're not invincible, but it's saying that, you know what, I can stop, recalibrate, and continue moving. That's the show. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. It's always a pleasure to talk shop with you guys, and I appreciate the good words. Definitely make sure you subscribe, rate, review. I appreciate each of you. God bless and good night.